Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're continuing with our verses here that deal with inward spirituality and the maintenance of that. We know, of course, all spirituality ultimately comes from our connection to God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, who enlightens us to the Word of God that He has inspired. But it says in verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. And tonight we're going to consider, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I might add, before next, in the forthcoming sermons, if we rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, have an attitude of thanksgiving, acknowledging the will of God, if we're busy about that, we're not going to quench the Spirit. You're not going to despise prophesying or the Word of God and the preaching thereof. So I think these things are key in leading up to the things He tells us not to do. Don't despise prophesying. Don't quench the Spirit. But we'll get to that in a forthcoming message. Now, this is so straightforward, it really doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. So, to maintain inward spirituality that's pleasing to God, you and I are to have an attitude of thanksgiving under all circumstances for the temporal and spiritual bounties that God grants us through Jesus Christ. That's the positive things to give thanks for. And if you're really... if you would just stop and think, stop and consider, you have so much to be thankful for. Each and every day, even on a bad day, that or what you consider to be a bad day, you can still say, I'm chosen of God. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I have the Word of God to teach me, guide me, instruct me, help me, empower me, lead me into truth. I have all the promises. I'm preserved by the power of Christ and the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. He's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right, look, God is for us in everything. Romans chapter 8. Christ is interceding for us, even on your very worst day. That ought to cheer your heart, knowing that you've got an advocate in heaven, the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, who is concerned for you, for your individual life, for the circumstances that you're in. God is concerned about you. God loves you so much that He chose you, He redeemed you, He sent His Spirit to give you spiritual life. So on your very worst day, Just give that some thought. Give some thought to the fact that God's working out everything for His glory and your good. So no matter how difficult our circumstances may be, we can thank God for the mercies that He's given us through Christ. Think of the very worst possible thing that could happen in your life. You can still thank God that you're not in hell. I mean, let's go to the very lowest denominator. You're not in hell. That's what you deserve. Tonight, you, as a sinner, who have broken God's laws and lived a life of corruption and pollution, you deserve hell for all eternity. But you're not going there on account of Christ as a believer. And if you're an unbeliever, you ought to thank God that you're not in hell right now, because that's where you ought to be. That's exactly what you deserve. So maintaining an attitude of thankfulness in all things, it requires us to be submissive, to be in submission to the sovereignty and the providence of God operating in our lives. And this is a key, because if that's not there, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be crossways all the time. If you can't see the truth of Romans 8:28, and it's a whole lot easier to quote it than it is to live it sometimes. But it comes down to this. Folks, you got to believe God's in control. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. So in order for you to be thankful every day, you've got to recognize that God is sovereign and you are to be submissive. You are to resign yourself meekly and cheerfully under the providential hand of God, recognizing the fact that He does all things well. We have to realize that our lives are in the hand of God, and that He's going to work His will in us and through us. And a thankful heart is cultivated by applying Romans 8:28 on a daily basis. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Well, as I thought about this a little more deeply, I have to admit that I was overwhelmed with conviction. I know I thank God a lot for saving my soul. But how often do I really thank God for everything He has ordained in my life? If I were constantly engaged in the holy activity of thankfulness, I would have no reason, none whatsoever, to be discouraged, morose, or moody. I really wouldn't. I'd be able to every day maintain an attitude, God has everything under control, and I thank Him for it, and I'm trusting Him. I'm depending on His grace. I'm depending on His providential care, no matter what happens. And I wouldn't complain. My heart would be fully taken up in reviewing all the mercies of the Lord and rejoicing in the treasures that His grace has afforded me, my mouth would be daily filled with praise for the Almighty. There wouldn't be a day that goes by when I would not sing His praises and exalt His name and thank Him for every moment of every day of the life that He has given me. Wonder and awe would fill my mind as I think that the Lord has taken such a keen interest in my life. We're talking about the sovereign, the one who owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. He owns it all. He oversees it all. And yet He is concerned with me, with my life, my family, my activities. And He has provided every need, spiritually and physically. Not one day has our sovereign Lord ever failed us. Not one day. Not one moment. The deeper I think upon this command, I realize I really want for nothing. That I should be content with food and raiment. And yet He's blessed me with so much more. Oh, wretched man that I am. It's sad but true that we often complain and murmur against God and our circumstances, sometimes more than we praise Him for His goodness and grace in our lives. And I pray that God will grant us grace to maintain this spirit of consistent gratitude and appreciation for God and all His benefits. As I think about a verse like this and the one who wrote it, I'm reminded of Paul and Silas in the jail. Now, I mean, the circumstances that led up to it, I mean, they are going gangbusters. People are being saved. Churches are being started. They are in the thick of the battle, serving the Lord, and all the circumstances come to it, and they find themselves in prison. First of all, they laid hold of them. They beat them unmercifully. So their bodies are lacerated with the beating that they had received. No doubt they were in a nasty prison. And believe me, prisons back then, they didn't have somebody come and clean them twice a day. They didn't deliver food. A lot of times it was up to somebody else outside who brought food to you. It was probably wet and dark and nasty, and there were rats and bugs, and their backs are bleeding. They're in pain. I often have thought, what if that would have been Tom and Josh, the two missionary men? We probably would have been saying, "Man, we're out here preaching. This is the thanks we get." Here we're in prison. Thanks a lot, Lord. We're trying to do Your work. And here we are. Well, I know Josh would have said that. But I think of the way we are. And it's always amazed me that the one who wrote this verse to the Thessalonians, and remember, the Thessalonian believers, they were under intense pressure and persecution. This church was being persecuted for their newly found faith in Christ. He was able to say, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. With all of that against Paul and Silas, they were singing. They were lifting up their voices in prayer and praise to the Almighty at midnight. You see, Paul wrote this actually having lived the truth of it in a very real way. The record states, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. How glorious that their testimony of grace and willingness to suffer for the name of Christ came shining through at this crucial moment. Well, you know the rest of the story. God arranged all this. God ordained all this to happen. And the Philippian jailer was saved. In a most miraculous way. God used the circumstances and the message and the men to bring about everything necessary to call one of His sheep out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let us be careful to pay strict attention to the command of this text and obey it without reservation. Thank God for everything He is pleased to bring into our lives every single day. And pray that you're sensitive enough to the Spirit of God working in you and the truth of this command to get convicted from now on. When you don't have an attitude of gratitude, when you find yourself mumbling and murmuring and groaning and belly aching, and we do it about a lot of things. We do it about the weather. We do it about work. We do it about our kids. Our kids do it about us. Yesterday we were driving home. I was so tired. And Adelaide is constant. We're singing, talking, singing, talking. I'm tired. And she says, okay, here's what we're going to do. She finds these games like, okay, you pick a hymn, any page in this hymn book, and we'll sing it. And it diverted my attention. I missed the exit. All right? We're just about to get on off the exit coming out of Columbus to be able to get on 23, which is the last leg of the journey. And I do blame her for it. I took the wrong exit. Of course, I had to go around. Now, it only, you know, did, since everything was so easily located, it probably only cost us 10 minutes at the most. But you should have seen me. I was really bummed, man. And I had no mercy on her. I said, Adelaide, you've got to let me drive this car. You can't divert my attention like that. Of course, it didn't even faze her. But a small thing like that. But if you think about it, maybe something that I had no idea was going to happen before we got to that exit? I don't know. But we all have to get to the place in our lives where even the things that seem most aggravating, we've got to get beyond how we feel about it and resign ourselves to God in every situation. That's really what it boils down to. I like what John MacArthur said on this verse, and it's convicting. He said it's spiritually abnormal for Christians to be unthankful. Unthankfulness disobeys the many scripture texts that enjoin the believer to a life of gratitude. Romans 8:28 sets forth the overarching principle, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. God's providence, His sovereign blending for all of life's contingencies for believers' ultimate blessing causes them to be thankful for everything in life, knowing that it fits in to His eternal purpose for them. I'm not going to go through Joseph, but you think about his life. He went from being the favorite to being sold into Egyptian slavery. And yet, through it all, he was able to be used of God. Now, he gigged his brothers quite a bit. Made them pretty nervous. But in the end, he reveals to them that God did it all. It was all according to the purpose of God. He understood that. And he resigned himself to it. Now, in this verse, this command, in everything give thanks, he tells us the reason why we're commanded to be consistently rejoicing, incessantly praying, and thankful in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Okay? That's straight and to the point. Yet, I really get tired of people who will make really dumb decisions that are completely contrary to the Bible and say something like, well, I just feel led of the Lord to do it. You know, I feel led of the Lord to do this stupid thing. Now, they wouldn't say it's stupid. Right? Let me guarantee you, the Lord is never going to lead you to get out of fellowship with the Lord's church. That's never going to happen. Because there are commands that are completely contrary to that attitude. The Lord's never going to lead you to do sinful, stupid things. So don't blame it on God. But here is a clear declaration. You want to know what the will of God is? It's not some mysterious thing that you have to hopefully have some dream or vision or lightning strike or a voice from heaven. None of that is going to happen. That's not how you discern the will of God. It's in His Word. And His Spirit will teach you and lead you and guide you. So the reason why we're to be rejoicing, praying, and thankful every day, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's perhaps one of the clearest directives regarding the revealed will of God in all of Scripture. I grant you there are things that I don't understand about the will of God, but I file them in that Deuteronomy file. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things which He has revealed belong unto us and to our children. So if I can't grasp it, I put it in that file. But this is not some nebulous, mysterious command that's difficult to comprehend or obey. It is God's will that we be filled with rejoicing. It is God's will that we be engaged in a spirit of prayerfulness. It is God's will that we live thankfully each and every day. And when we fail to hearken to these commands, you know what we're doing? We are rebelling against the revealed will of God for our lives. It is absolutely essential to inward spirituality and its maintenance that we submit to the revealed will of God that's contained in His infallible Word. It's more important than how you feel, what your feelings are, what your opinions are. Our world has been captivated by this expressive individualism that wants to know how a person feels, and that's how they identify. That is nonsense. Truth is truth. You can't make up your own truth. It has to be according to God's Word. Oh, that these blessed truths would be practically applied in our daily life. May we be stirred to hearken to these commands and respond to them with unflinching and cheerful obedience, proving our love for our great Savior and Lord. And may God convict us when we're not rejoicing evermore, and we're not praying without ceasing, and we're not giving thanks in all things. Because all of that is the will of God for you. That's revealed, it's stated. May we take it seriously. Let's all stand.
Page number 1.